Welcome back here to Charlotte. We are coming to you live from the ACC kickoff, the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour. It is sponsored by Duffy's Sports Grill. And Joe, we have a very special guest here. He is the other half of our Hurricanes coverage, the post-game show host here. Alex Dono is sitting across from me now.
Everybody likes that pregame. Nobody likes to do the postgame. Nobody likes. I got guys go, I'll do the pregame. Everything's good. You can hype it up. That postgame's a different deal, especially when your team loses, right? Never an easy one. Dono, good morning, man. And by the way, before we get going, I don't know why they're putting Messi through this. All you have to do is have a medical, have your doctor. I can call the doctor right now at Baptist Health. Those doctors cover the team. We can fill out a form, send it to the commissioner of the MLS, and he's out of the game. A medical.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's all you got to do. And we don't have to go through this. Is Messi going to play? Is Jordi Alba going to play? All you had to do is call one of those doctors. They got team doctor, a Baptist Health guy. He knows how the game is played. We need this guy to rest. We don't want to lose him for a game because we're trying to win the MLS. I don't get it at all. Anyway.
I'm with you 1,000% on that, Joe. And real quick, you mentioned, you know, nobody wants to do post-game. Luckily, the team seems to be getting a little bit better every year. Hopefully, that's the case again this year. But when you think about that post-game journey, because, again, when the team loses, it could be a sad, difficult thing to do. I remember, Joe, watching that Cal game last year, thinking, not only is Miami going to get wrecked, but I'm going to have to do post-game from, like, 2 a.m. to 5 p.m. after that. Thank the Lord they turned it around. So at least up until like dawn, I got to do a happy post game after that one. So that was a roller coaster.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. And there are a lot of people probably turn that off, especially after the pick six, going, oh my God, they're gonna get like you said, blown out. And then if you missed it, man, what a hell of that's a classic. That's a Cam Ward right there. Put that on top of the resume, man, right there for the way Cam played. Hey, speaking of quarterback. Carson Beck left North Carolina, and a lot of people going, wow, he's a lot different than I thought he was going to be. What'd you think?
Yeah, I had a chance, and I know you spoke to him as well yesterday. You know, I met him and spoke to him here in Charlotte, my first interaction with him, and, you know, sometimes you don't know what to think, Joe, because I hear, you know, all these Georgia people talking about how allegedly immature he is, and then during the offseason, everyone's talking about the breakup and the Lamborghini getting stolen. I got the sense with Beck, and I hope you did as well, that it seems like he's really serious and focused on football and, you know, focused on his team, which I know is one of the things Georgia folks kind of made it sound like. Maybe he's more about himself, but I didn't get that sense from him whatsoever. And I also feel like he's dialed in and really playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder coming off of that injury, because a lot of people forgot how good he's been and how hyped he was a year ago at this time. And so and also Mario Cristobal, who's out here in Charlotte, seems to be pretty high on Beck and the work that he's put in over the past couple of months since he's been cleared to throw. And so I think what we have on our hands is an extremely capable quarterback with, you know, spent the previous five seasons in the SEC. He's got 2.5 seasons worth of starts and a 24-3 record at Georgia. I think Miami's in one of the better quarterback situations in the entire country, Joe, and there's no reason why this offense shouldn't be really good. Again, are they going to be number one in the country 2 years in a row? That's difficult, but I think that they could be a top 10 offense, if not top five, again this year with that offensive line and that running game to go with it.
I would just say there are a couple things about Carson Beck. First of all, you're exactly right. Now, he's not Cam Ward, but he's on that same Cam Ward program as far as I want to get my stock up. I want to be good enough where and healthy enough that I got a chance to be a first-round pick. UM gives me the best opportunity with the offensive line and the weapons that he was talking about yesterday and the timing he's had with them. But anybody thinks he's just looking to get one college payday and he's done, hell no. There's a much bigger picture with an opportunity. You know, we made a big deal about the $1.5 million Cam Ward got paid last year. He was worth every dime. That guy, by the way, and not only that, he got more than a signing bonus. Being the first overall pick, he made tens of millions of dollars. He already got that check in the bank. So there is a bigger picture here for Carson Beck, and he's seen how it works with Cam Ward for his chance. So That was the first thing I thought of. The second thing, we talk about Carson Beck. Hey, man, every quarterback's different. They're not all going to have the Cam Ward personality where it's all business. You don't hear anything about him except he takes his guys out to eat. And that's it. I didn't even know Cam Ward had a girlfriend at school. Had no idea.
I had the same thing, Joe. I was talking about that yesterday. I had no clue the entire time he was at Miami.
That guy, listen, that was a perfect situation. He called it a business trip down here, and it paid off. He went about his business every day from the day he got here and started throwing to his guys till he left. At halftime of that game in Orlando, it was all business, and Carson's going to be the same way. Now, he got a little different personality, and they're giving a hard time. He's taking his Ferrari and going to Miami, and, you know, it's a little jab. But he's here for the bigger picture. He's not here because he's got a Ferrari and he's making good money with the University of Miami. He's definitely got a bigger picture. And by the way, he might like dating a lot of different women. That's okay. If I'm the quarterback at UM, I do the same damn thing. That's okay. If I want to go out and try a couple of different flavors there, that's fine, you know, without getting in any kind of trouble. Hey, what we're really counting on when we talk about UM, though, we need to be talking about the team's more balanced defensively. They got to be night and day better defensively at every level. You agree with that, right? That's the key.
Yeah, and Mario agrees. You know, we spent a good amount of time talking with Coach Cristobal about the defensive changes, and you know, he the way he words it from last year, and he's not wrong. The defense lost their way throughout the season a year ago. You know, he puts a lot of the, you know, blame for that on communication. But Joe, I think there's also clearly blame on personnel from last year as well. And it, obviously not all the personnel was bad. Like in the defensive backfield, O.J. Frederick, I thought, had a fantastic year as a true freshman corner. I thought, you know, Miami's defensive line overall played well. Maybe they were over-schemed in some games. But there were a lot of areas of weakness, not only from a communication standpoint, but a personnel standpoint. And I think actions speak louder than words, because Cristobal can say it, hey, we got to get our defense, they can't lose their way this year. But then you look at what he's actually done, Joe, during the offseason. He's done a ton to address it, from, you know, bringing in a new defensive coordinator, Corey Heatherman, who, you know, I kind of, the way that I phrased it with Mario when we spoke yesterday was, it really seems like Heatherman runs a Miami type of defense. And obviously anybody, you know, going back to Cristobal's older days in the program knows what that means. A lot more direct and a lot more aggressive. I think the players respect that. All the position coaches, except for Jason Taylor, who I'm glad that they kept, but everyone else was turned over from last year. And then so many new players, Joe. I mean, you know, defensive secondary, you know, outside of probably Frederick, was overall an issue last year. Frederick is back, but then they've got a ton of new guys, safety, nickel, corner, from Xavier Lucas to Zechariah Poyser, Jacoby Thomas at safety, Keontae Scott, who could probably start at the nickel this year. There's a bunch of other names I didn't even mention.
Yeah.
The personnel is almost completely different. And also, Joe, a linebacker that everybody speaks really highly of, including Wesley Bissaint, who I spoke with yesterday, you know, a new teammate of his in that linebacker room, Mohamed Touré from Rutgers, talking about him already really being a leader and kind of being a physical freak back there. I know he's been working his way through an injury, had an ACL last year, like early last season. So I think he's healthy again, but he's still kind of working through the steps. But I think that's another guy who can have a big impact this year. So, I mean, the philosophy's different, Joe. The personnel is a lot different. I think Miami has at least put themselves in position to have a defensive transformation, kind of like the one Minnesota had last year with Corey Heatherman, where they were at 69th, 70th in total defense the year before he got there. Then they were top five in the 1 year he spent there.
Yeah, so I had two problems last year with the defense. I thought there were some broken coverages because sometimes guys are wide open. But more than that, cornerbacks couldn't find the ball. Sometimes the coverage was pretty good. They couldn't find the ball. And I'm sorry that – I mean, that – I'm shocked that it happened as much as it did. The other thing is, I thought the linebacker coverage, in coverage, I thought Maui Noah really, they went after him. They went out, started going after him, as good as he was. And he did a lot of great things, especially sacks and stuff. But his coverage, they really saw that one. And when they had him in the game, on third down, they went after him, and he got beat pretty good. So just got to clean some of those things up, knowing everybody's going to go after your weak link, and hopefully you can cover it up. And the other thing is, I think the pass rush still got to be better. You agree with that? Like, I just expect a lot from this group of guys. Some of these guys have been some of the top pass rushers in the country. Reuben Bain, it starts with him. We need Reuben. We need a 9 or 10 sack Reuben Bain to stay healthy and put up big numbers.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's sack leader last year was Tyler Barron at 5.5, and it was like, you know, he would have like one game where he'd have 2 sacks, and then 4 games where he didn't have any sacks, and then 2 more sacks.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit streaky, and it was, you know, obviously, and there are reasons for it. You know, it was a down year for Reuben Bain last year. But I think people are starting to actually now kind of understand the context of last season for him, Joe, because I don't put a lot of that on him, given, you know, he missed 4 or 5 games with a calf injury, which was suffered right at the beginning of the year. And then he played through a lot of pain last year. I don't think he was really himself. And also, you know, I know part of that defensive line philosophy, fewer stunts and twists, is something that they're looking for, more of a direct approach. But if you can get the type of healthy year you're hoping for Reuben Bain, and, you know, Keem Mezidore is in his final year, his final ride this year. He's was here yesterday representing Miami at Media Days. I think that's a guy you expect big things from. But then, Joe, like, obviously the top line guys need to perform. There's no question about that. But I think what could potentially, if it breaks the right way for the Hurricanes, kind of set them apart in the pass rush is, are some of these younger up-and-coming guys going to really step up and have an impact? Like, I've heard good things about Marquise Lightfoot, you know, putting on a little bit of size and being more dominant in workouts and practices. Armando Blunt, who was, you know, a year younger than a true freshman should have been last year, heading into his second year. Even a true freshman guy like Hayden Lowe is getting a lot of love. He's already got an NFL type of body, first year coming out of high school. Malik Bryant is another one who's entering his third year who has an opportunity to be part of that rotational pass rush. So it's like, yeah, if you have 2 guys who are really good at rushing the passer, that's fine, that's great. But if you can have 4, 5, 6 guys,
oh, yeah,
in that rotation,
rotate them in.
I think that's the I think that's what can set Miami apart.
Well, listen, it's no secret Notre Dame's going to come down here and try to get physical, right? In a month, I know, with a lot of discussion before that, but big offensive line, like they always have. Notre Dame's got this great offensive line, seems like, just about every year. And they're going to try to pound it pretty good. And so we'll see how the front 7 hold up with that and still be able to cover guys at the same time. Hey, we got to go to break here. You're listening to Woody and Dono at the other end here at the ACC meetings. And day 2 of the kickoff, a lot more teams will be talking today up there. We'll get you, keep you updated on all that. Right now, though, I got to take a second here, man. A lot of guys going through some hard times. A lot of guys. A lot of things. You lose your job. You lose your family. Going through some bad things in your life. You're on a roller coaster. It's causing anxiety and depression. Maybe the drinking's gotten a little out of hand with you, too. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're human. It really does. Recovery Unplugged in Fort Lauderdale could be the answer for you. These folks, they get it. They've helped 19,000 people in 13 years with treatment for mental health and substance abuse, led by expert doctors and therapists who build a plan around you, inpatient, outpatient, and virtual care. Most insurance is accepted. Now, if you need a reset and you're ready, Recovery Unplugged is your spot. Call 954-737-4508 or visit recoveryunplugged.com. Recovery Unplugged, heal out loud.
Man, I've always been a competitor, dog. My grandparents raised me that way. I enjoy winning. I know how to lose, but I need to be better as a leader. And I realized that throughout this whole entire offense, because ever since me and my family got here, this fan base has been special to us. You know, showing up to like different engagements. Whenever we meet people in the community, they've been great. So as a leader of this team and also as a leader of this community, I just need to be better in that sense. And then just know, like there are like a ton of like little kids that like look up to me as a player, as a role model. So I just got to remind myself of that, you know what I'm saying? And then just take hold of that and then own it. So that's why this year, man, I've been, this whole entire offseason, I've been busting my tail Me and my dad, I told my dad, I said, I want to see what it looks like whenever I focus just on football, and I just focus on myself and family. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like I really haven't been given the best version of me, of Tyreek, my whole entire career. You know what I'm saying? I've always been trying to be here, be there, but me being able to, like, slow down a little bit, train, and bust my tail for myself and then also for this community and this team, I feel like it'll be worth it. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to see what that version of myself looks like. So I'm looking forward to it. Today was our conditioning test, and at 31 years old, I must say I haven't lost a step. So I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, that was Tyreek Hill, man, saying all the right things, man. It was refreshing to hear. I ain't going to lie to you. And I hope that's the guy that we got yesterday. He was in a great mood, in a great place, maturity, leadership, talked about everything you want to hear, everything. And, oh, by the way, I can still run. I mean, he hit you from top to bottom. I mean, you couldn't write a better list of things I'm going to be. You know, the question's always going to be, where you been? It sounds great, but where you been? You've said some of these things before, but hey, man, I'll take it. Because they need him, and they went all in on him. They had to wonder after the way this thing ended. Listen, he quit in a game. Terrible look. He said he regrets it. It was bad. We're moving on. But the team, right after the season, when Chris and Mike meet with him, GM and head coach, they had to be a little concerned. Like, hey, man, you want to be here or not? Because if not, we got to make a move here. And they heard enough that he wanted to be here, and then everything else, you know, he went through, you know, let's be honest, that divorce thing or that thing that we heard, the 911 call and the video out the balcony, it was a bad look, terrible look, and he gets it. So again, I hope everything he was talking about, he met. I hope so, because they do need him. And, you know, number one, to be, once again, one of the best players in football, which he wasn't last year. And listen, whatever else you get, I never look at Tyreek just to be the leader of men every day. He said he's not going to be late and all those things that he's been in the past. So he came clean. He didn't hide from anything. I just hope that was real, man. I hope that wasn't, you know, where you just kind of tell your mom what she wants to hear or tell your wife what she wants to hear, you know, and he hasn't changed. He's the same guy. By the way, Liam Eikenberg and Darren Waller on the physically unable to perform list. Ifeatu Melifonwu, the safety, probably starting safety, also on the non-football injury list for now. And we'll see with Zach Seeler. I know they're working on a contract to get something done. I don't know what the number's going to end up being for him. He is going to get a raise out of this thing, and I just don't expect Zach Seeler and Drew Rosenhaus to be a problem with this thing. That's just not who Zach Seeler is, and I think everything's going to be fine there. Hey, listen, man, a lot of teams are going through this right now. A lot of teams have guys aren't even going to camp now. They're so pissed off and so far apart on money that they've just checked out. I want to say something else to Dolphin fans this morning, too. It's going to be a quiet year, a quiet camp for the Miami Dolphins because I just don't think we're one of those teams that has a lot of great stories to it. Same guys, don't get me wrong. It's Tua coming back. Tyreek, Jalen on the outside still stays the same. Three of the highest paid players on your team. And important, and we need them all to have great season. One to stay healthy, the other two to be productive. But I'm already looking at the stories coming out. Pittsburgh, obviously, because of Aaron Rodgers. Dallas, because of Jerry Jones. And what's it going to end up costing them to finally get their pass rusher taken care of? I just think there's a lot of stories around. And just got to surprise people because there aren't a lot of things expected from this football team. And I don't think football team's that bad. I have not been on that bandwagon. But there's a lot of people that like, yeah, This team's taking a big step backwards. So you just got to – it's not going to go away. You know, what is it, 7.5 wins, 8.5 wins, whatever the number is right now for in Vegas. But they just, you know, it's about the guys on the team. It's not about anybody else. It's not about me saying what I think they are or you saying what you think the team might be. It's about those guys and especially winning the games you should win. And I'm going to start right against the Colts. Week one, indoors, we had to put a big number up on the Colts. Daniel Jones trying to get a second start for himself. Basically, this is the second start. Last year he was up in Minnesota for a while, but didn't do anything. This Daniel Jones started his second chance. He's on the second chance part of his career now. The first part didn't go well with the Giants. They got rid of him. Hey, when they go out of their way to get rid of you in the middle of the season,
yeah,
not saying much about what they think you are, right?
Yeah, they straight cut him.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, that's rough.
Now, I just look at that matchup. We just have to win that. You got the Patriots week two. I know it's a nice story. I know they've added a lot. The names on their defense are very impressive. They've added a lot of pieces, a pass rusher, a defensive tackle, and a cover corner. They spent a lot of money. I said that money they just spent on those three positions I'm talking about was a lot of money. But you got to beat them. You got to beat that team. I'm not going to go ahead of that on the schedule. Your first road game and your first home game, those two games before you go to Buffalo, you gotta take care of those two games. We need to be talking here in September 2-0. So that's part of this whole story, but it is going to be quiet camp. If you think there'll be a lot of national media, I don't think so. I don't think the big storylines are out here. I can go with all these different teams and their storylines and what they have and the Cleveland situation with four quarterbacks trying to figure out which guy's going to be the starter. Is it going to be one of the rookies or is it going to be the oldest quarterback in football or is it going to be a guy that's a former first-round pick for the Steelers? I don't know, but that's going to be a big story. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't happen very often in the NFL where four guys have a chance to win a starting job at quarterback. Matter of fact, not a great look, if we're to be honest. And that thing with the Colts is not great either. Not great at all. Got a talented guy you drafted that's always hurt. And you got Daniel Jones, who's trying to get it going and looks like he might be ahead in that competition right now. The Jets are going to be a story. Jets got a new coach. There's going to be a lot there. And then the big guys, Kansas City, right? Trying to get back to another Super Bowl. Baltimore. Baltimore looks like they might be the most talented team in football outside of maybe Pittsburgh. The Eagles. And the third team is the Buffalo Bills that we played twice. They didn't add a lot of pieces, but they kept all the pieces on their team that they had, plus the draft. So, doesn't really matter, man, like who's out of camp every day. This another side story. It doesn't matter. Like Alec Ingold said yesterday, man, it's about us. It's not about anything being said on the outside. It's about what we think and what we're willing to put into this. Tell you something that bothers me, though, a little bit. You kind of get the feeling last year these guys kind of admitted they weren't all in. Like, it's kind of weird. Some of the stuff coming, we weren't. We talked about culture. We didn't do any of that stuff. Like, what? All this stuff, man, you're trying to get excited about last year, and you're finding, yeah, we didn't have it. Something was missing. Like, really? So now you're telling me that again, but it's different.
Right.
Because Jalen Ramsey's gone. Must have been a bad dude. Must have been a bad, bad dude for sure. Anyway, one thing about football, it's 53 guys. By the end of the year, damn near every one of those 53 guys is going to be important. When you start talking about 10 or 12 guys going on the IR, if not more, and now your roster looks like it's about 70 because you're picking from the practice squad. Now you're picking up a few guys from other teams. A lot of pieces to get through a season. A lot of key backups, a lot of key rotation players. A whole thing coming together. Getting a backup quarterback ready. Getting extra defensive backs ready. Getting your rotation on the outside for pass rushers, getting that ready. Getting some backup offensive linemen ready to go with this group if the original five that they're talking about can stay healthy. So a lot of cool pieces to put in the season together, see what it looks like. And this is a crazy camp because about half this camp feels like it's going to be on the road, where the Dolphins are going to leave like on a Wednesday for a Sunday game. And then they're going to practice against the Bears. And then they're going to go right to Detroit and be there all week and practice against Detroit and then get ready for a Saturday game. So what is that, about 10, 11 days, 12 days?
Yeah, I think Omar was telling us it's about 11 or 12 days.
So, and we don't see that a lot in camp. Matter of fact, I've never seen that. This is the first time I've seen that. Usually you play teams really close and in the preseason, which we do. We play Jacksonville for our home game. But the two games on the road and then stay and get some work against Dan Campbell's real physical football team and against Chicago. So a lot of moving parts here, man, with this whole thing. We got to go to break. We've got a lot more stuff to get to. I want to say good morning to everybody. Appreciate you being with us always as we continue on. Right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealer, man. I want to talk about the SUV family, the midsize SUV family, like the all-new Equinox and the electric Equinox SUV. It's just got so much. For a midsize, just everything you could want. I'm talking about just... fantastic look, plenty of room for the family and friends, and that's kind of what Chevy's been about, especially when you talk about the midsize SUVs. I mean, they just give you the total package. The 2025 Traverse, also one of my favorites because it's got so much room. It's just below the Tahoe. Got the turbocharged 2.5-liter engine and plenty of room for the family, for the cargo, to really enjoy a summer vacation. That's what it's about right now for your South Florida Chevy dealers. We're proud of our SUVs, man. We love them. I didn't even mention the Tahoe and the Suburban, the big boys. But, boy, whatever way you want to go because you're staying out of the airports and traveling on a vacation, everybody's going to be close. Really got something planned in the next couple weeks. Man, stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. Check it out. We got convenient locations all over South Florida and outstanding offers going on right now.
All right, welcome back here to Charlotte, the ACC kickoff, part of the Capital One, Orange Bowl Capital One Media Tour. It is presented by Duffy's Sports Grill. Joe, we have a lot of interviews that we're going to be doing throughout the day here, and we'll have those up for you on WQAM.com. So, again, I just want to thank our friends here, the Capital One, Orange Bowl, and Duffy's, who have been great to us here up in Charlotte.
I did not know until yesterday. Eric Palms came on, CEO of the Orange Bowl. Woody, you probably knew. We got the quarter championship game, quarterfinals, and we have the national championship game. I go, no, win the quarter. Is this year or next year? He goes, no, we got both this year. So we got two great games coming up at Hard Rock Stadium this year for this playoffs. Going to be fantastic trying to figure – I don't even know who the best teams in the country are, if I guess – got a pretty good idea. You could Michigan or Oregon or Ohio State's got to be loaded again. Texas got to have a hell of a – we could guess a lot of the teams that probably going to be there at the end.
I don't know how much stock you put into week one, Joe, but there is a loaded slate of games for that first week of college football. So you're going to find out, you know, Florida State, we're talking to them this morning. They got Alabama to start things. Of course, Miami's got Notre Dame, so there's some pretty good matchups here, Joe. But we're gonna keep rolling with some interviews here, and I'll talk to you in a bit. All right.
All right. Sounds good. And Woody, thanks for coming on, and thanks to our friends from the Orange Bowl for taking care of a lot of this stuff, so we could be up there with the University of Miami yesterday and at the meetings, at the ACC kickoff meetings all over the next few days here or so. Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got Dolphins having their first practice, and it's nasty out. Right away, got a little rain here. I'm looking out the window, and that's okay. That's all right, man. You're going to have to play in a little rain. I don't know if they're going indoors or not, but first day of practice for the Dolphins, full squad. Chance, once we open these practices up, you'll get a chance to see your top picks, Kenneth Grant and Jonah Savanaya, two big fellas. By the way, this might be the first draft, and I don't know, but just off the top of my head, that we're drafting four guys in seven rounds all over 320 pounds. There's some big dudes, three on the defensive line and Big Jonah, who's a big white. That's a big man. Big, big guy. So three defensive tackles. I don't know the last time we drafted three defensive tackles either, but my God, from one guy to the next, 6'6", 320, 6'3", 320, 6'3", 340 in Kenneth Grant. That's a big group. It's a big group of men right there. And, hey, listen, I think they're planning on not only Kenneth Grant getting a first pick, going to start, period, but Jordan Phillips got to be in there too. Actually, your third pick in this draft. He's I know you missed some because you moved up. You love Savanaya, so you moved up to 48 to 37 to get him. But a lot of these guys got to play, man. A lot of these young kids, young guys, like, hey, welcome. Congratulations, we drafted you. Now your ass needs to go play and get them ready to go. And we got some new faces on the O-line. Patrick Paul, I know a lot of my guys love him, think he's got the making. He's built to be a left tackle. Big, long, athletic, but he's got to do it. He did it a few games last year. He did get his feet wet, but got to show he can do it every day now at left tackle. James Daniels comes in as well. And we got a rookie guard going to play in there. So James Daniels, veteran free agent from Pittsburgh, and Savanaya comes in at guard. And then two guys, Brewer and Jackson, you get that were starters last year. So there really is a lot of new faces and new places this year. There's a lot. And that secondary, still believe they're going to sign somebody here the next few days. I do. I think they'll get one of these veteran cornerbacks, just trying to get them for the right price. But we're going to play some of the younger guys. Some of these younger guys will have to play at some point, and you got to get them ready. And by the way, it's not just who's starting, but it's key backups, because guys are going to get hurt. There's not one team out there that's going through a full season and not be injured. You're going to lose guys. That's why it's a 53-man roster, not a 30-man roster. You're going to have to get some guys ready, whether it's Cam Smith, Jason Marshall, the rookie, Kader Kohu, you know, is going to play. Ethan Bonner is going to get some chances. Storm Duck and some veteran guys you signed, including Artie Burns out of Northwestern, who's like 30 years old now. I didn't realize Artie was a former first-round pick with the Steelers. So there are going to be a lot of new guys, man, on both sides of the ball for this team. And by the way, speaking of new positions and new guys, looking at the cornerback position, there's a good chance your top three guys were not on the roster last year. Minkah Fitzpatrick, Ashton Davis, and Ifeatu. Probably going to be your top three safeties. Elijah Campbell plays special team. Dante Trader, we'll see how he works out. And Patrick McMorris, who had a nice was drafted last year out of Cal, who had a nice preseason. Had a nice preseason before going on the IR. But I'm guessing those three guys who have played some football a lot in Detroit, and Ashton Davis played for the Jets, and, of course, our former first-round pick coming back home after playing for the Steelers after we let him go. That's, by the way, one of the most bizarre stories. We had him. He didn't want to be here. Got off to a great start. Minkah Fitzpatrick. Played great. Then asked him to do some things he didn't want to do, to the point he goes, I got to get out of here. I don't want to be here. I'm done. I got to go. Not, hey, maybe we can come to some kind of agreement how to use you. And everybody knows that wasn't the way Brian Flores worked. This is the way I want you to play. This is where I think you'll be best. And this is where you're going to help us. And I'm a defensive coordinator, and I think this is the best for you. So now he comes back. A guy that Chris Greer drafted, really liked. And now we get him towards the end of his career, see what he can do. I got to tell you, empty numbers, though, don't work, man. Empty numbers, as in interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. That's takeaways, man. That's what it's about on the defense, getting takeaways. Getting stops, but getting takeaways. And we got to get a lot more than we did a year ago. We had a safety position. All the guys that played safety last year, we had zero interceptions. How do you play 17 games and not have one interception out of your safety position? Hard to do. That's very hard to do. So I got no problem bringing in new guys, athletic guys, guys that have done it. And Minkah Fitzpatrick has put up some big – he had some empty sheets last year too. But he's also had some all-pro years, six, seven interceptions. So he has done a little bit better at that point. So anyway, we got a lot of stuff, man, a lot of stuff. That's what makes it so fun when you're going out there, guys you watch, guys you kind of like. How's our top picks? How's our veterans coming back? How's Tua going to look? How's Tua's backup going to look? All those type of things, man. That's why you have camp. That's why everybody's going. I want to see Zach Wilson throw it just like everybody else. I want to see Quinn Ewers throw it. I want to see what he looks like. And then the offensive line against the defensive line every day, where we need to be really, really strong. So there will be a lot of parts to this team that they got to get some answers on, coach up, and get ready to go. Find most of your team is here right now, short of maybe a veteran cornerback. These are the guys they've already made up their mind that they're going to play with. This is what it's going to look like. I don't know if they'll trade for somebody. Somebody might, hey, we're going to let this guy go, but he's pretty good. Or they're going to pick up one of those veteran cornerbacks out there. Three or four of them out there. Sante Samuel's 25 years old. Then the rest of them are up there in age. Rasul Douglas is 29, not quite 30.
Yes. And I saw that they have $1.2 million under the cap, so they have a little bit of money to spend. They can adjust it, yeah.
They can redo some contracts, and every guy likes a signing bonus up front, part of that money up front, and then cost less against the cap, so you free up some money, which could happen. That could be part of the game plan here. But for the most part, man, this is it. This is a group. They put this together. A cheap free agency, a big draft class, and the guys you got coming back, including some guys coming back that were injured. And how will they play? I'll tell you another great story, man. Not to get in the storylines today here, but how are we going to be at those pass rushing positions on the outside? Bradley Chubb, Chop Robinson, and Jalen Phillips. How will they play? Coming off injury. And Chop, can Chop take it to another level? Had six sacks, most of them in the second half, but really turned it on. Got wide and found out, oh, hell, that's great speed. Play him wide, and he can get after it. But we need to get the other guys going too. Chubb, Phillips, all those guys got to be a big, big part of this thing. And then there's some open competition for a lot of these jobs. Maybe not in the eyes of the coaches. Maybe they got a pretty good idea who they want to start, but hey, man, some guys go out and have a really good camp, play well in these practices against the other teams that we're going to – three preseason games, play well in the preseason, the practices, and move up the ladder a little bit. All part of the story. And hopefully Liam Eichenberg is not injured very long. Darren Waller, tight end, both those guys on the physically unable to perform list. And get those guys back here real soon and get Zach Sealer's contract done. Very little drama, though, Zach, because you're not going to have any drama with Zach. He wants a new contract, but I don't think he's going to make it where you're going, oh, man, Zach's not happy. Yeah, he wants a new contract, but the guy's a pro's pro, man. Don't worry about that guy. He'll be just fine. So anyway, We're going to do it again tomorrow morning. We got a lot more that we'll be talking about. First day of practice, we'll have all that stuff. And then we'll have more from the ACC meetings as still plenty of stuff. Burning questions, man. Burning questions that people want to know about their Dolphins team, and none of us will know for a while. But I'll tell you what, camp will go fast. Once they get going, then you go on the road for 10 or 11 days.
Look at it right now. August 10th is the first preseason game.
Is it?
August 10th in Chicago.
1 o'clock?
Yep. It's a 1 o'clock game.
Detroit, 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock. And then the Jacksonville game is 7:30.
I like those 1 o'clockers.
I know.
Hell, I might be home. I might be getting home at a decent time there. That's good stuff. Hey, want to thank you for being with us today. Always appreciate everybody out there hanging with us. And Woody for going up to the ACC meetings and for you guys for hanging with us all the time. All day, Dan Day. I'll see you again tomorrow morning. And Jamie, thank you guys, man. Always great having you. We're going to sign off here. I'm going to head out to practice for a little while. Have a great day, everybody.